Now, let's discuss habits. Some things about routine, motivation, how you get where you're going, and how you build the path you plan to take, and the pleasure that comes from coordinating routine, motivation, goals. At first, sticking to a regime, a routine, is at its maximum difficulty level. As you do it more, you move it toward the circle of achievement, which is the things you know you can do. Your body's already surrounded, your mind is already surrounded with a sense of awareness of your place in the world, of where you are and how you're connected to everything around you. And you have the circle of things you know you are competent of. These could be very simple tasks, things you do every day, or they could be things that are within your particular abilities. Then you have your circle of potential expertise. You have the next circle out. Things you think you could do. Things that you think you could do if you had to do them, but they might be a little difficult. And beyond that, you have a circle of things you're not sure you could do. You don't think you could. But with help, you maybe could do them. Beyond that are the things you couldn't do, even with a little help. But let's focus again on things you know you can do, things you're pretty sure you can do, and things you could do with a little help. Well, we want to move those circles outward. We want to realign what you know you can do to be a wider and wider circle of things, and evidence, history, achievement. That's part of it. It's invigorating, healthy, to have something that you do regularly. Often, we do mistakenly go for the short-term gain instead of the long-term gain, and part of that is complacency about what we do regularly, becoming a little too attached to the immediate. So let me lure you away from that, encouraging you to expand your awareness and ability, finding an alternative way of thinking, a modification to your way of life, maybe adding accountability, but definitely adding a change to how you build the trajectory you're going to take. And to include in that very simple principles, when I mention things you're sure you could do, and things you're pretty sure you could do. Well, I'm talking about competencies that are very close to the self. So let's focus on eating and exercise. What you take in and the effort you put out. Improvement and modification to your own way of life takes a certain perspective. We're actually taught a method for this by our immersion in society, but it's certainly not the optimal method. And this is our place to uncouple you from that, to find a more optimal way of proceeding, to see yourself, your potential, your habits, and all of the connections inside your brain in a new light. So let's address the issue generally and jump right in, knowing that as we proceed, you may view yourself in ways most appropriate to you, that you are being trained, or that you are being instructed like a student, or that you are being programmed like a computer. Each and any and all of these things are apt metaphors for your own manipulation of self while integrating what I provide. We do often face issues of flagging motivation, of losing steam as you proceed. So you and I are going to try to head that off. But we're also going to perceive you as you really are. A network of habits, your body, your path through the world, these things are all manifestations of a deeper inner knowledge, a perception of self, and you might be tempted to approach this problem alone instead of approaching it together with me. So we will zoom in, see what exists under your skin, the habits, the silvery network of desires, the nerves, needs, and yes, your own habituated behaviors. It takes a long time of consistent behavior to form or alter a habit. Envision the silver trail which goes from your mind, through your body, down to your feet, the nervous system signal that branches out into your hands. See how it moves beyond your body too, perhaps stops at the snooze button in the morning. This awareness of trails and lines of influence which speak to you, carry you through, helps you to see the paths that you take, even the ones you take subconsciously, automatically. Maybe your hand stops at the snooze button twice. I get that. We'll talk about alarm clocks later. But watch that line of influence go further outside your body. What began in your brain and spiderwebbed outward into every inch of your form also goes to the kitchen or the fridge. It goes out into the world. Maybe it goes to cafes. Maybe it goes to the coffee pot in your kitchen. Maybe multiple times. We all have this network, an abstract view of our internal desires, realized and externalized into our environment. We're all capable of engaging in the exercise of following where those lines may stop, where they may go, where they crisscross as you revisit the same places over and over, weaving an ever denser web around them. We place values on certain actions, as contrasted with how they influence our path through each and every day. And if you watch that line, if you watch it move, if you watch just where you stop, you'll notice that that line crisscrosses in certain places more than others, places of repeated visiting, becoming more than just a silvery thread demarcating one or even two passages during a day. That line stops and crisscrosses in places where it can represent your habits, the things you do enough to weave a web around that action, that place. Maybe it goes to your bed a few times a day, if you're into afternoon naps like me. If you visualize and participate in this externalization, this theory of your thoughts, your needs, of your awareness of self, then you're able to follow, see those sets of lines with their roots in your mind, your body, see the path and trajectories you travel on, the enjoyment you experience doing the same things, the things you are drawn to because you want to be, the things you are drawn to because you haven't quite worked out how to escape their pull yet, the certainty and safety of you, here, embracing my words, is assured, intensified, enhanced, by you knowing that you're just learning methods, methods to alter the trajectory you're on, the path, to find a way toward change. It can take a while to form a habit. Any change takes a while. Any change that is less drastic and can be maintained more easily, that's easy. That's something you might even know how to do. A drastic change, well, eventually you have to work at it. You have to pay the toll to keep those changes part of your day. You only have so much you can do, and the more you do, the greater the efficiency. The more you continue the same habit, the more efficient keeping it as part of your day is. Introducing a change in self over time, rather than immediately. Keep this in mind as we proceed. First, we zoom out. We look at the entire issue, which really isn't that much of one. Everyone wants to explore the idea of the ideal miracle exercise program that comes without effort. Everyone wants to be sold the idea of effortlessly changing your diet through one simple thing. There's no bullet to make you thinner, healthier, happier. There's no easy way to rush to where you want to go. And without effort, then you wouldn't appreciate what you gained as much anyway. We enjoy leisure. And we have the option, more than people once did, to relax. And while your mind has already pierced this illusion, it may not have done so completely, so I invite you to realize you are relaxing. Imagine yourself with proper exercise, improved diet. We're taught by advertising, by society, that it is insurmountable to achieve our goals. And sometimes alone this is true. But having someone external to help you with accountability, with thinking about just what you want, just what you need, just what you would like to improve in yourself, this can get you where you need to be more easily. We're taught it is difficult to change our diet and exercise, or to just settle for the situation you're in because it can't be easily fixed. People believe there is some way to use willpower to just suddenly be someone who exercises, suddenly be someone who eats healthier. But nothing's that easy. Incremental changes must begin small and continuous. There's nothing sudden about it, and external accountability helps very much. So, in light of what I just explained, first let's discuss habits. Repetitive behaviors you engage in almost without thinking because they are the norm, and they are desirable, but they can be difficult to form. Good hygiene, good sleep habits, these things take time, and you have a long time to develop them. Good exercise and eating habits are no different. It takes an investiture of time and a consistency of purpose, but also simply requires you to recognize a few things. Two distinct recognitions, in fact. First, that you are doing this for someone, whether yourself, a partner, anyone else you can think of, maybe all of the above. The second recognition, there's no excuse to cease varying your habits. You must be unfailing and consistent. If you want them to stick, you have to stick with them. Accept no excuses in your mind. Just like the alarm clock, you really should get on your feet right away. The more you hit the snooze button, the less useful the alarm clock is in future, because you've learned you can hit the snooze button a few times. The more days you skip exercising even basic rudimentary stretching and a few little exercises. When you have a regime of exercising 4 or even 5 days a week for just an hour, half an hour, for as long as you can fit into your schedule, if you abandon that routine, telling yourself you can skip a day 1 week becomes a habit within a habit, until you're skipping more days than you can afford to. Refrain from making that a choice. Always choose instead to maintain and reinforce what we are going to create together. This doesn't mean you have to be inflexible. A lot of people fall into the trap of feeling they have to do something at the same time every day, and do the same exact thing. Recognize that your habits can be about general categories. Recognize the requirements of a busy world. Forgive yourself for doing what you can. But hold yourself to account and don't let yourself wriggle out. You need to do things now to be able to do other things in future. Routine helps, so do things around the same time if you can. But this is just a container, a category. The habit is just a container, a category. The habit is a motivation, a feeling that you really should exercise, that you really should skip sugar at the cafe or when in your own kitchen. That you really should set aside certain things. And then it becomes an automatic response. After all, you're sitting there, going deeper, deeper into trance. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You should have an indicator, a time you do something. But if you ignore your appointed time rather than simply rescheduling it, that's like turning off the alarm instead of hitting the snooze button. It's even worse if you're going to lay back down. You might think it's good to rest and go back to sleep. And most people are carrying around some amount of sleep debt, by the way. But too much rest inevitably makes you more drowsy or puts you off schedule. Puts you in a worse place than if you'd slept a more appropriate amount of time. So reschedule your exercise. Reschedule things that you do have to put off. Trying to erase all your sleep debt in one go just doesn't work. That's like trying to exercise extra hard twice a week to make up for skipping your exercise entirely other days. Either way is just as bad. Choose a routine that is modulated and in the middle. Spread it out. Do what you can do. By expecting dramatic results, you set yourself up. You set yourself up for deviation from routine, a failure to achieve. So instead, set yourself up for success. There are some disadvantageous trains of thought that run through your mind, and we will eradicate them together. That silvery network of influence and motivation which makes up your mind, your habits, the realities of your day, it spiderwebs through your body and throughout your world. It's a kind of inertia for you. Things you do automatically because you've always done them. This is our advantage. There are many factors in getting a habit of healthy improvement up and running. Getting it integrated so some of those silvery lines go just where you want them to go, and you can experience a pleasant thrill at the idea of following a routine that includes so much that is good for you. We go over them one by one. We log them into your mind. Your open, receptive mind connected to my voice, connected to my way of thinking, but you're also connected to others, including yourself, who will be positively affected. If you meet your own expectation of improved health through exercise, through diet, and through better choices, maybe relating to sleep, maybe relating to recreation habits, only you can know the first useful step. But we can certainly help you to take it. This will be easier than just telling yourself to do something. If instead you think of your connections to others, I permit you to think of me as someone with a vested interest in your progress, your improvement, and also helping you call to mind others will be happy to see you getting a normal amount of exercise and eating a little healthier. These thoughts are being put out into the world for your own benefit, to help you look inward. Examine your habits. Examine the way you go for short term, ignoring the long term. Incremental change. That's the key. It's easier than other kinds of change, where you change just a little bit. You keep enough of your routine that you avoid feeling shocked or out of position. We rebel less against slow, progressive, useful change than we do against a sudden paradigm shift. It's just too much. So envision those people in your mind who will benefit from what we do together and will benefit from your life improving for you. You are on that list, remember. And so am I. I underwent this kind of change, incremental, over time. So I've got at least some credibility in the arena, but also a vested interest in others learning to alter that path, that trajectory. Keep that in mind as I walk you through a few changes, some enhancements. Remember that my voice is here and encouraging, and that you can return to it. Feel it caressing you, moving that network of influence from the inside out. When you are tempted by something sweet or problematic for your healthy eating, when you are tempted to depart from your exercise routine, instead of consuming, instead of skipping out, instead of giving in, feel a reassuring hand on your lower back bolstering you, pushing you forward towards something better for you. A voice in your ear, a reminder. Take the long view of things. The pleasure you get is actually less than the pleasure from long-term positive shifts. So if you're able to do the math, you'll be able to follow the plan. Set aside the snack, the unhealthy consumption anyway. Set aside the tendency to ignore exercise. You're really going to feel better if you decide to do it, to turn into a habit. Instead, engage. Just eat something else, do something else, change up your exercise routine if you need to. Select positive habits. Do as much as you can do, because you can do no more. And remember, since it's incremental, small changes are okay, because like the pleasure, the change is over the long term too. A sudden change, or a sudden gratifying pleasure that results in a long-term decline, these things are not as useful. Make incremental progress, move forward. And because it's incremental, it's impossible to fail. It's impossible to slip up. Instead, know that you are setting back an incremental improvement. You make the incremental progress a little slower when you have a snack you ultimately regret in terms of health, or when you skip a day of exercise. But you're still moving. You're always moving forward on the track towards an improvement which we have selected as your trajectory, and an improvement which, when realized, will make you far happier than everything you skipped out on in terms of food, and than everything you skipped out on skipping out on in terms of exercise. All the leisure time and extra sleep that you will have when you eventually realize an investment you confidently and completely own. When you realize your ability to alter your path, making part of you, your body, your habits, your mind, better for you. Do we really think a marble sculpture is inferior if we see it when it's half done? Or do we just see even more possibility? Do we really think of a painting as shoddy if we see it when it's only at the base coats? No. Do we think a symphony is less complete because we heard only one movement? No. We know that out there, lurking in the marble, underneath the canvas, hidden among the notes, is a path that can be followed toward a conclusion that will be adored. You're going to realize so many things and have access to so many more avenues of pleasure and of enjoyment, coming from the improvements to your body and mind that come with avoiding unhealthy behaviors and committing to healthy improvements. A regular exercise routine, for example. I'm not going to specifically dictate one, because you have to find what works for you. Might take some research, might take some trial and error, but because the path is incremental, you're always moving toward, even if you detour now and then. You'll have to figure out what the optimal path is and use, as an emphasis and a motivation, the idea of avoiding slowing down your changes. Any changes you make are part of carving the sculpture that is you, painting what is before you. a race half run is still something that you should take pride in. Realize you're still running it. And maybe a marathon is more apt because finishing it for your own sake is what matters. But people cheering you on always helps. Any critique of yourself prior to the full realization is premature. So leave aside that prematurity. Live instead for the alterations you are making, will continue to make, which will alter the path of your habits until you know full well, yes, you've done it. Until the realization arrives, forestall judgment of self. Set aside judgment entirely. Take on board the idea that you can follow an incremental path and that you are. This isn't a crash diet. This isn't an exercise regime that runs you to the limit. This is healthy incremental lifestyle change. You are allowed, permitted, even encouraged to sometimes deviate from your habits. The benefit of the habit is you'll return to the mean eventually, return to the average, return to the middle of your overall trajectory. The most important time for altering your behavior is the very beginning. So I really recommend you keep the habit going for a few months and try never to skip, maybe to replan if you have to. People say, although I'm not sure on the research, that it takes 67 days to form a habit or break a habit. In particular, I think that's about right. Maybe set that counter up for yourself, that you'll go 67 days without skipping, without straying on your diet. Select the path you think works for you. Of course, these are all just suggestions, but I'm good at suggestions. Suggesting a course of action you may very, very deeply enjoy eventually can help you. Take the long view. That's what you're supposed to do. And it's what marketing departments the world over don't want you to do. Anybody marketing a miracle product, diet, or exercise wants you to think you'll get results right away. I'm telling you the opposite because I'm telling you the truth. Results take time. 67 days just to get the habit started. You're going to have to work at it a little, but it'll be for the best. And if you're here listening to me, then you know willpower isn't all it's cracked up to be. Sometimes a nice suggestion gets you on the right path. Sometimes you may think your day has simply been too full, that you don't have time to exercise, or that you have to go for an unhealthy option as far as food. Or so you'll think. But remember, you can multitask. Listen to a podcast or my voice. Do something else enjoyable. Multitask your recreation time with your exercise time. Make something for yourself, or yes, order something on the healthy side. And when it comes time that you maybe crave to deviate from your plans, you can turn to my voice. Set aside the image you've been marketed, the image of hard work and instant results. Even the image of a gym is probably inaccurate. Do what works for you personally. Develop a regime unbounded by other people's rules and made up of your own. Maybe a gym works for you. It can give accountability, make you feel like you've got to go. If so, go for it. But you can go for a walk, you can think, you can bring a journal and write sitting on a park bench, somewhere far enough from home that walking back will get you some exercise. You can do a few push-ups in your living room. You can watch TV and sit on an exercise bike. You can hop into your shower and wash off immediately, which makes the exercise more pleasant. Do what suits you and matches your comfort level. That's the secret. Your freedom is your greatest asset. And that includes the freedom to follow a regimen and a bit of advice. If you find yourself engaging in desires to skip your exercise, remind yourself of the pleasant feeling you get afterward. Cling to that. If you find yourself craving unhealthy things, find pleasant flavors elsewhere in healthier places. There's bound to be some comparison or recipe that can get you what you want. Even if it's just better, better is incrementally better. Think of all these things. If what you dislike is being sweaty after a workout, if you dislike gym music, if you don't like being looked at while you exercise, do it in private, do it next to your shower, use your own headphones. Go for a run on a treadmill, then hop in the shower, do the push-ups afterward, hop back in. You have the freedom to get yourself into whatever state you need to be in for your body, your comfort, and your improvement. And by maximizing comfort, you reduce the temptation to fail. Although failure is impossible, you also reduce the temptation to deviate. The habit that you aim to turn into a routine seems more gradual because it is. Less a paradigm shift, more an adoption of a new routine. That's just how it goes. Your body is largely free. Your mind is largely free. But freedom unbounded can lead you down strange roads. Willpower isn't all it's cracked up to be. There's only so much we can do from the inside. We are machines of memory and sensation, meat and pleasure, enjoyment and toil, stress and love and desire. We are made up of things more complex than we can imagine or accurately quantify. But there's no will in there. Nothing that can make you something today that you were unable to become yesterday. Instead, you have paths you can follow. And within you is the potential to follow them. You know that just because something's a good idea doesn't mean we'll do it. But with accountability and your own habit forming, you can get closer, even if not in all in one shove, than in long, slow progress. We all have a knowledge of what would be healthier for us. Oh, I really should get more exercise, for example. It gets pushed on us through the media enough, through marketing. We know about exercise and diet and self-confidence, but we can't just force them into ourselves. We fight it because we place values on things. Routine is something we value. And that's where the dialogue about habits becomes a better deal, and a bigger deal. You have existing habits, which may be negative. Replacing them with positive habits means that you, being a creature of routine, can work for you. If your willpower fails to push you beyond, if you fall back into a routine where you're struggling, you can remind yourself with my voice. You can do whatever you need to do to help you stick to it for a while. You can't change parts of yourself without help and persuasion. You have to be set on a different path. We are berated and taught that our lack of willpower is our own fault, but if it were just a matter of willpower, trust me, a lot more people would be doing it. It's a matter of your context and so much more. You are a half-completed masterpiece. See that. The idea that will is yours alone to have or not have, and that your failure to live a different life is somehow a fault. That's an ignorant view, a byproduct of a faux meritocracy, which will always favor those born into good fortune. You have to instead realize a lot is out of your hands. The harder you shove your life in some specific direction, for example, crash diets, the harder it springs back like an elastic band snapping in. Trying to love your body without effort, without improvement, is worthwhile but can be difficult. And so you can select habit forming that might take you toward where you want to be. Assess that want. Make sure it's healthy. And the harder you shove, the more difficult it is, the more life's inertia pushes back. But if you gently, incrementally move, you can expand your boundaries instead. Manipulate your environment. Put reminders to stick to your new trajectory. We are not looking at an uphill climb. We're looking at many broad stairs you can climb onto slowly, one by another. Find foods that fit you in their flavor profile, in their health. Make small changes toward them. Strip a few things out of your diet and throw a few new things in. Add some exercises to your day. Even 10 minutes is more than most people get. We are made up of things more complex than we can imagine, as I said. And that's fine. You don't need to imagine perfectly. You don't need to examine the full complexity. Incremental changes. I'm sure you can think of others I haven't mentioned, and I'm sure you can think of other people who will benefit from your changes, but if you need to turn back to my voice for a reminder, let this be it. These alterations of self are possible and can be a good improvement, but it requires you to take a long view toward habit formation, and a little hypnotic assistance is fine too. Sliding deeper and deeper, feeling the twinge and tug of a suggestion laid deep. It helps you stick to your path, helps you stick to your improved trajectory over all the days it takes to form a habit, and then you'll have more momentum, more inertia keeping you on the path you already began. And that can only be a good thing. Don't you want to explore the world where you try? And that tempting thought will embed itself as deeply as any other word in a relaxing, constant, trajectory changing instruction set that plays deep in your head. You are gradually changing your course, gradually selecting a new way of being, and that incremental nature lends itself to being helped with the occasional encouraging word to keep you right where you already know the masterpiece of you is going to end up.